Chapter 25.
"We've got to call the cops on this one," I said quietly to Elaine.
"No," she replied. "They'll want to question us. It'll take hours."
"They'll want to question us a lot longer if someone else finds the body and they have to come looking for us.
And while we're cooperating with the authorities, what happens to Abby, Helen, and Priscilla?" She stared at me. "For that matter, what happens to Mouse?"
That was a thought I'd been trying to avoid. If Mouse was alive and capable, there was no way he'd let any of the women be harmed. If someone had killed Anna when Mouse was near, it could have happened only over his dead body. But there was no sign of him. That could mean a lot of things. At worst, it meant that he had been utterly disintegrated by whatever had come for the women. Not only was that assumption depressing as hell, it also didn't get me anywhere. A bad guy who could simply disintegrate anything that got in the way sure wouldn't be pussyfooting around the way these white court yahoos had been. Mouse wasn't here. There was no mess, no sign of a struggle, and believe you me, that dog can put up a struggle, as the vets found out when they misfiled his paperwork. They tried to neuter him instead of vaccinating him and getting his shoulder x-rayed where he'd bounced off of a moving minivan. I was lucky they were willing to let me pay for the property damage and leave it at that. It had to mean something else. Maybe my dog had left with the others and Anna had remained behind, or gone back for something she forgot. Or maybe Mouse had played on everyone's expectation that he was just a dog. He'd shown me that he was capable of that kind of subterfuge before, and it had been one of the first things that tipped me off to his distinctly superior to canine intellect. What if Mouse had played along and stayed close to the others? Why would he do that, though? Because Mouse knew I could find him. Unless the bad guys carried him off to the Never Never itself, or put him behind a set of wards specifically designed to block such magic, my tracking spell could find him anywhere. That was the path to take, even if Mouse didn't know anything was wrong. He would have stayed with any members of the Ordo that he could, and I had taken to planning ahead a little more than I used to do. I could use my shield bracelet to target the single small shield charm I'd hung from his collar for just such an emergency. Me and Foghorn Leghorn.
"Can you find the dog?" Elaine asked.
"Yeah, but we should try calling their homes before we go."
Elaine frowned.
"You told them to stay here or somewhere public."
"Odds are pretty good that they're scared. And when you're scared, you want to go home," Elaine finished.
"If they're there, it'll be the quickest way to get in touch. If not, it hasn't cost us more than a minute or two."
Elaine nodded.
Anna had all the numbers in a notebook in her purse. We turned up the purse after a brief search, but the notebook wasn't in it. There wasn't anything for it but to make sure that Anna hadn't slipped it into a pocket before she died. I checked and tried not to leave any prints, almost as hard as I tried not to look at her dead, purpling face or glazed eyes. It hadn't been a clean death. And even though Anna hadn't been gone long enough to start decomposition, the smell was formidable. I tried to ignore it. It was harder to ignore her face. The skin had the stiff, waxy look that dead bodies get. Worse, there was a distinct and unquantifiable quality of absence. Anna Ashe had been very much alive, fierce of will, protective, determined. I know plenty of wizards without the force of personality she had. She'd been the one thinking and acting when all those around her were frightened. That takes a rare kind of courage. None of which meant anything, since despite my efforts, the killer had taken her anyway.